Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is Heaven Bound.
You should come too.
Hello and welcome to episode number
27.
That's right, 27. Oh my goodness, it's been a long time since we've been able to record. As a matter of fact, it's been over a year. And we finally got everything set back up, and I was learning how to use some of my software again. And Taylor, I asked you if you remembered, after more than a year, what episode number we were on. And did I have to tell you what it was?
No.
No, you remembered, didn't you?
Yeah.
You said 27, and I almost passed out right in my chair. I don't know how. I had to look it up. I didn't know. But you knew. Episode number 27. Mm-hmm. It has been a long time, and hopefully it's not going to be that long again, because we are ready to get back in the saddle. You're a lot older now, Taylor, and yeah. This is going to be a little different show now, probably. Mm-hmm. Yep, but we're looking forward to it. So we are going to pick up where we left off last time. We've been just going through as best as I can in chronological order through the life of Jesus. Chronological order means we're trying to do it in the order that as he lived and as he went about on different trips and talked to different people, we're trying to look at these stories. I shouldn't call them stories, they're accounts really. In the same order that he did them. And so that's going to bring us this time to John chapter 5. But man, so many things have happened for us in the year that we've been gone. Taylor, how old are you now?
Six.
Six and going to be seven in just a couple more months, huh?
I'm six and a half now.
Yep. And getting so old. We're still doing school at home. And do you love homeschool?
Yeah.
What classes are you taking this year?
Math, and we're doing science, and we're also learning some songs.
What do you mean you're learning some songs?
In school, we're talking about adventures in U.S. history, and there are different songs that different people play in different times of U.S. history.
Yeah, okay, so you're learning history, and you get to learn some music and arts that happened in history. And yeah. But what else do you get to do in school this year? This is what I thought you meant when you said songs. What else are you learning how to do?
Play my guitar.
Yeah, you got a guitar, and you're getting to take guitar lessons. And you learn, three chords now, I think?
No, two.
Two different chords, and you're learning to pick out. You played some Christmas songs for us, Jingle Bells and things. So yeah. That was fun. So there's a lot going on. What else are you doing? And not really in school, but what kinds of things do you like to work on now? Some of the crafts that you do.
I like to make paper airplanes, and I like to make fun pictures and plan when I want to go somewhere, and mom and dad and Sissy don't know what I want to do. I like to do a crafty planning and draw pictures or write words of what I'm planning to do.
Yeah, you like to make special invitations and things to go have fun outings. And you also, you got some looms that help you make different things. What are some of the things that you're making on your looms?
I've got three looms. I have two weaving looms. One's for weaving winter wear, and another is for weaving hot pads. And another one is a rubber band loom that I can make rubber band crafts.
Yeah, so you can actually make scarves and hats, and you can make hot pads for the kitchen.
I also have another winter wear loom. I'm still making a scarf on it, but it's different than my other loom that I'm working on a scarf too.
Lots of craft projects, and you're making gifts to give people, and you're making rubber band bracelets. And what are you going to do? You're making a whole bunch of rubber band bracelets, so you can do what?
I can take them to the children. hospital, and I'm going to let kids get the bracelet that I make so it won't make them scared whenever the doctor has to give them a shot.
Yeah, you're going to make and take them to the children's hospital so they can give them away?
Yeah.
That's so nice and sweet. Well, Mommy and Daddy are proud of you. I'm glad you love doing that, and you're having a lot of fun doing it, too. So, all right, let's get into John chapter 5, and let's start talking about our Bible lesson for this week. And John chapter 5 is about the healing at a pool called Bethesda. Can you say Bethesda?
Bethesda.
That's kind of a funny word, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was the name of the pool. Now, John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And it says, verse 2, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. So why do you think there's a gate called the sheep gate? How do you think it got that name?
Because sheep are behind it.
Yeah, but it might be the gate that all of the shepherds brought their sheep in and out, and people just started calling it, oh, that's the sheep gate. Maybe it was smaller than some of the other gates, or maybe it was over on the side and made it easy for them to take their sheep through. I don't know. That's how we name things here, don't we?
Yeah.
We have two little sheds in our backyard, and they're just tiny little metal buildings. They're not really very fancy at all, but one of them is where our bunny rabbits live.
It's the bunny shed.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is where the goats live.
It's the goat shed.
Yeah, and so that's how they got their names, is by what we used them for, right?
Right.
So maybe that's how the sheep gate got its name. But over by the sheep gate, there was a pool called Bethesda, and the pool had five porticos. Do you know what a portico is?
Somebody that's not well?
Well, no, a portico, there were people that were not well there, but we're not talking about the people yet. We'll see them in just a minute. A portico is kind of like a little porch. Sometimes the big temples would have little porches that stuck out on the side, and they were covered up. And so if people were walking up the stairs, but they weren't inside the temple yet, there were little places with shade around them. We kind of use the word pavilion today. That's a big word, too. When you go to the park and there's a little place with a roof over it and it has a cement floor and there's maybe picnic benches underneath it, we call that a pavilion. That's kind of like what a portico is. So there was a pool for people to go get water, but around the pool were five little porticos, five little shaded areas where people could go and sit and be in the shade, and they could visit. They could carry their water pitchers there and fill them up and keep them together. Maybe the mommies would go and let their kids play under the portico while they were getting water or things like that. And so there were five of these all around the pool. And verse 3 says, in these porticos, in these little areas, lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. People that had a lot of health problems. They were sick, or they were weak, or their legs were hurt, or they couldn't stand up, and they couldn't walk, different things like that. Now, here's something interesting in the Bible. Right after it says this, I use the New American Standard, and it has its own way of showing this. The next verse, the next couple of sentences, have special brackets around them. And the reason I'm stopping and talking about that is if you use a different Bible, like the NIV, the New International Version, won't put these words in there at all. It just skips them. It might have them down at the bottom in a footnote or something. So, parents, if you're reading along and if you see something different here, this is why. And you can visit with your kids about what's going on here. But if I go to the front of my Bible and look and see what those brackets mean, it means that long time ago, all the old copies of the Bible that we find, that we look through to see if the copies that we have are accurate, most of the time, 99% of the time, everything that we find, there's not a mistake, there's not any errors, all the different copies of the Bible say the same thing, but there are just a few places And this is one of them, that a lot of the copies that we find don't have this verse in them. And then some of the copies we find do. And so when they translate the Bible, when we print Bibles today, they want you to know this is one of the verses, and there's really just a couple of others. This is one of the verses that we didn't find in all of the copies of the Bible, and so we're not sure if it's supposed to be there or not. Now, again, there's only two or three verses that are like this, and probably when we keep going through our study, we'll run into them eventually, and I'll point those out too. But because we're not sure if it belongs there or not, the people who print the Bibles want us to know this was in some and this was not in some. So we're not 100% sure that this is supposed to be here. That's what that means. Now, of the verses that do this, none of them teach something that we can't learn somewhere else in the Bible.
Yeah.
We're not missing anything important just because two or three of these verses we're not sure about. But here's what this verse says, the part that we're not sure about. It says the reason the sick and the blind and the lame and the withered were there. And when my brackets start, it says they were waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever then first, after stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And that's the end of the special verse that's in brackets. So the people thought that if they laid there by the water, and the water started bubbling and churning and moving around like there was something happening in the water, that the first person in would be made well. That's what they thought. We don't know that that's true. We don't see that anywhere else in the Bible.
No.
But that's really what they thought. So, Taylor, if you were sick, and if you were really sick, and you felt really yucky for a long time, and medicine didn't help, and you found out if somebody said, there's a pond in that other pasture across the highway over there, and sometimes God makes that pond start bubbling up, and when you see the water bubbling, if you get in it, it'll make you well. Whether that's true or not, if somebody told you that, if you thought that might work and you were really, really sick, then where are you probably going to go?
To the pool.
Go to the pool. Go down to the pond, huh? And wait and see. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what people thought, and so that's why they were all there, because they really wanted to get well. And it says multitudes of people all the time would come down and stop by this place. So verse 5 says, a man was there, and now we're out of that special bracket verse. We're back in the real verse that we know is accurate. It says, a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Do you know how old I am, Taylor?
38.
I'm 38. Maybe he was 38 years old, and he had been ill his entire life. Or maybe he was older than that, and he got sick when he was little, and he's been sick for 38 years. Either way, that's a really long time. I can't imagine being ill. Later, we're going to see that he wasn't able to walk. That's what was wrong with him. He had to have people carry him places. They didn't have wheelchairs back then that we have today. We have today some nice things, crutches and wheelchairs and things that help people, but they didn't have that back then. And so he always had to find somebody else to carry him places and to help him.
They had to carry him on a soft hammock board.
Yeah, they would have a board or a pallet or something, and it would be soft for him to lay on, and they would pick it up on the ends, and it might take two or three or four people to lift it up and to carry him, and then they could just set it down, and he would still be on his soft pallet or mattress. And then usually they would go somewhere where they could ask for money, get people to help them by handing out money. So he had somebody carry him down to the pool, and I don't know, it sounds like maybe he did this every day, because he kept waiting and waiting and waiting for those waters to bubble and turn so that he could try to get in the water. So Jesus, verse 6, when he saw him lying there and knew that it had been a long time in that condition, Jesus asked him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, someone else steps in before me." He's implying, yes, I want to get well. He thinks the only way he can get well is by getting in the pool. So he doesn't just tell Jesus, yes, I want to get well. He thinks the only way to get well is to get in the pool. So he starts explaining to Jesus why he can't get in the pool. Of course I want to get well, but somebody always beats me into the water. Well, this is the really neat part. As soon as he said that, Jesus says, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Now, what do you think the first thing went through that man's head was? Jesus said, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk.
I don't think this is going to work.
Yeah, he probably thought, what are you talking about? I can't walk. That's why I can't get in the water, right?
Right.
But Jesus, just by saying those words, healed him. And when the man tried, he was able to get up. Matter of fact, I think he jumped up because he was so excited to be able to do it all by himself. He jumped up and he picked up his pallet and he started walking. And I bet he didn't just walk. I bet he jumped and I bet he ran and I bet he turned in circles. I bet he was having a good time because he hadn't been able to walk for 38 years. Now, the end of verse 9 tells us what day it was. Do you know what day it was?
No.
It was the Sabbath.
The
Sabbath was the Saturday. But back then, back during the time of the Old and New Testaments, that was the day they worshipped. Today we worship on Sunday, but they used to worship on Saturday. And they had a rule that they were not supposed to work on Saturday. They were supposed to be with their family, and they were supposed to worship God. And if they all went to work, then they couldn't do that. Well, some of the Jews got a little confused about why God didn't want them to work. He didn't want them to have jobs because he wanted them to be able to worship, and he wanted them to spend time with their family, and he wanted them to remember him. And some of them thought, well, if you can't work, then you can't do anything. And they would sit around and talk about, what does it mean to work? And somebody would say, well, walking is work, so I don't want to walk anywhere. I just want to sit on my chair all day. And somebody else said, yeah, but you have to walk a little ways. What if you need food? Or what if you need to go to the bathroom? They said, okay, well, maybe you can walk a little bit, but you can't push a wheelbarrow, or you can't pull a cart, or you can't carry anything heavy. And that's what they thought the rule was. That wasn't the real rule. That wasn't what God meant.
No.
But that's the way people started thinking. So this man was on his pallet. Somebody had carried him down. It must not have been that morning because they weren't allowed to carry him on his pallet. It must have been maybe the night before. Or maybe they decided it was okay if they were carrying somebody. I don't know how they decided all these rules because they were kind of silly the way they did it. But this man is there and he has his pallet with him. Well, he can't just leave his pallet. I don't know if he had a bed at home or if the pallet was his only bed, or at least he needed to keep it because it was his, or go give it to somebody else that needed it. But when he could walk, he jumped up and he picked up his pallet and he started walking. But some of the Jews said, hey, stop that man. He's breaking the law. He's carrying a pallet on the Sabbath. That sounds like a really bad crime, doesn't it?
No.
No. That doesn't sound like a really bad crime at all. He just was walking and carrying his pallet, but the Jews thought it was. And they tried to get him in trouble. So look, let's pick up again where we left off. Verse 10. The Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it's the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. But he answered them, the one who made me well was the one who told me to pick up your pallet and walk. He said, I have to. The guy that cured me told me to take it with me. He made me well. After 38 years, I couldn't even walk, and he made me well. Of course I'm going to do what he said. And I'm so happy that I can walk and I need to take my pallet home. And so they said, who is the man, verse 12, that said to you, pick up your pallet and walk? They said, okay, there's somebody else that we want to get in trouble. Verse 13 says, but the man who was healed did not know who it was. He didn't know who Jesus was. Some guy just walked up to him and said, hey, do you want to get well? He said, yeah, I want to, but I can't get in the water. He said, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And so he did. And then he left and he wasn't with Jesus anymore. And he stopped and he goes, you know, I'm not sure who he was, but he did a really great thing for me.
Yeah.
Well, later, verse 14 says, Jesus found him again and he was in the temple. That was really, really good. He could have done anything he wanted. He just now was able to walk. He could pick anywhere he wanted to go all by himself. And where did he go?
To the temple.
Why did they go to the temple on the Sabbath?
Because they worshiped.
That's right. So he did a really good thing. He went to the right place, didn't he?
Yeah.
He went to the temple to worship. And Jesus found him in the temple and he said, behold, you have become well. Jesus said, now I'm going to tell you something else. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. He said, you know what it's like to be sick and to be hurting. And he said, guess what? Sinners who don't obey God are going to be a lot worse than just lame and just sick and just hurting. And so he says, Jesus says, here's something even more important for you. I did a really good thing. I made it so you can walk again. But now you need to listen to something else. You need to make sure you don't sin and you always put God first. So now, after he got to visit with Jesus a little bit, he found out who Jesus was. Well, the Pharisees had asked him, who told you that? So he went back and he told them it was Jesus who made me well. I think he was excited and I think he wanted them to know. I would be excited, but they wanted to know for different reasons. Verse 16 says, for this reason the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Do you know what it means to persecute someone?
No.
It means they were being mean to him. They were being mean to Jesus. They were saying ugly things. They were telling him to stop. They were probably pushing him and making fun of him and who knows what all they were doing. But they weren't being very nice to Jesus because they thought he was breaking their rules and they didn't like it. Now, Jesus is going to do something really important, and this is one of the big things that we need to look at. Because the people, the reason they were mean to Jesus is they didn't really know who he was. Today, we know who Jesus is, don't we?
Yeah.
Who is Jesus?
God.
Yeah.
He's part of the God the Father.
He is part of God the Father. He's God the Son, isn't he? And he's God. He was God's Son. And he became a person, a human. And he lived a perfect life. And he sacrificed himself for us. And we understand that all now. But they didn't understand that. They just thought he was another guy. And he was breaking their rules. And so Jesus told them in verse 17... He said, you don't like the things that I'm doing, but he says, listen, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, we kind of have to keep reading to find out what Jesus meant when he said that, but they didn't have to keep reading. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying about himself, and we know that because the very next verse says, for this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Am I equal with God?
No.
No, I'm not the same as God, am I? I'm not powerful like God, and I'm not wise like God. I don't know everything like God. I can't perform miracles. I can't create the universe and everything that's in it. I can't do any of those things. So if I tried to say that I am God, I would be very, very, very wrong, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they thought that Jesus was just some guy that said he was God. And so they were really upset. We should be upset when somebody who is not God pretends to be God or thinks they are God. That's not a good thing, but it is a good thing if it's God's Son that's saying it. And Jesus proved that he was really God's son when he was able to perform miracles that no other person can do, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Jews heard Jesus say this, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." And they knew, he's calling himself the Son of God. He thinks he's equal to God, and that made them mad. It made them so mad that they wanted to kill him. And you know, a lot of times, Jesus had to leave. Jesus had to kind of hide to make sure they didn't kill him. He was going to have to die, but it wasn't time yet. And so there were some times that he had to leave because they were so mad. They were looking for him. They wanted to kill him right then and there. And that's not good. That would be kind of scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't scary for Jesus because he knew God was in control. And he knew he was going to have to die, but that was going to come later.
Whenever they found him, he told them it wasn't time yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had to tell them a bunch of times, didn't he? It's not my time yet. That's right. So here's the two things that are important in this story. Number one, the man that wanted to be healed, did he need to wait for the water to bubble up?
No.
No, he didn't need to wait for the water. What did he just need to do?
He needed to get up.
Yeah, but how was he able to do that?
With Jesus.
With Jesus. He didn't need the water. He needed Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the very first thing that's important. We saw a really good miracle happen, and we saw his life changed. But remember that he needed Jesus to do that. He didn't need the water to bubble up. He didn't need all the other people that were there to think that something was happening when it wasn't. He just needed Jesus. The next important lesson is Jesus went back and found him, and he told him, he said, "I'm glad I was able to heal you, and I'm glad that I changed your life, and you can start doing a lot of different things." But he told him something more important. He said, "You need to go and stop doing what?
Sins."
Yeah, stop sins. Stop disobeying God. Stop breaking the law. Make sure that you do everything that God asked you to do, because that's the most important thing. That's number two lesson in this story. And number three, Jesus told us who he really is. And even though it made the Jews and the Pharisees mad, they didn't want to hear it. It was true, wasn't it?
Yes.
Who is Jesus?
God.
God. He's God's son, and he's part of God, part of the Godhead that lives in heaven. And Jesus loves us, and he came to earth so that he could help us, so that we can be where?
In heaven.
That's right. And we look forward to that, don't we?
Yeah.
Are you excited about heaven?
Yeah.
And is our whole family going to be there?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what Daddy prays for every day. Did you know it?
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for helping me with another podcast, Taylor. I'm glad that we're able to get these going again. And I'm not sure what they're going to be like in the future, but we're going to start recording again, and we're going to get people listening again, and we're going to have fun because we love doing this. All right, tell everybody bye-bye for this week.
Bye-bye.